Well, this verse of the Holy Quran talks about that and answers that question, that why are we being tried? And so the Almighty Allah says that we are trying you so that we know those of you who strive hard, who will continue to strive, to struggle, to work for the cause of Allah, and those who won't. And of course, so that we know those who remain steadfast, those who have firm determination to be good human beings, and of course those that are patient. You know, these are the reasons why we are tested. This is Dialogue, Imam Al-Hadi alayhi salam.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
And now we invite you to listen to Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
Imam Ali al-Hadi al-Naqi alayhi salatu wasalam. He is one of the Imams whom we consider to be the Shafa'a. They are the ones who have been given the right by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to intercede on our behalf. Keeping a story in mind, a very interesting one, where there was a person in Iraq by the name of Yusuf bin Ya'qub from the area of Mosul during the days of Mutawakkil. And, of course, being a Christian minority, they used to interact with the Muslims on different levels, including business levels. And this is a narration by a family friend of Yusuf bin Ya'qub, who says one day, this Yusuf bin Ya'qub came to our home in Baghdad, and he became the guest of my father. They were good friends on family level. And he says, my father asked him, what brings you to Baghdad? And he says, I have been summoned by Mutawakkil to go and see him. And Mutawakkil was a very tyrant ruler. Nobody wanted to go and see him. You know, so if you are summoned by Mutawakkil, then you really are concerned that there is some serious problems. He says, you know, I had no choice but to accept the invitation from Mutawakkil. But what I did was that inni ishtaraytu nafsi min Allah bi mi'ati dinar. I insured my life with Allah for 100 dinars. That Allah, I'm going to see a zalim, a tyrant. I don't know what will happen to me, so I would like to insure my life with you with 100 dinar. But who will get the premium? He's a Christian, remember. Where he says, إِنِّي اشْتَرَيْتُ نَفْسِ مِنَ اللَّهِ بِمِئَةِ دِينَارِ وَقَدْ حَمَلْتُهُ لِعَلِي بِنْ مُحَمَّدْ بِنْ رِزَى مَعِي. And I have carried that money with me with the intention of giving it to Ali bin Muhammad bin Rizā alayhi salatu wasalam. So he's ensuring his own life, ensuring that with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he knows where to go and pay the premium. They are the shafa'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of Dialogue. Don't forget to visit our website at parstoday.ir/en Call of Islam page, where you can find all of our previous programs and many other great programs as well. Until another episode, fi amanillah, and God bless you all.
Of Jalali, Tehran.
Rubashavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Puraza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Olemi,
Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Iran's retaliatory strikes on Israeli-occupied territories have drawn admiration and praise in Afghanistan from both the country's ruler, the Taliban, and the Afghan people. They said the reprisal strikes were completely legitimate, justifiable, and have expressed their support for Iran in the face of hostilities.
Long live and fingers crossed to the leader of Iran and to the brave nation and IRGC of Iran for their bravery in hitting the occupying Israel. They did this while many Muslims, like Saudi rulers, are indifferent to the cause and values of Muslim world. Praise Ansarullah of Yemen and Hezbollah and any nation who stands for the Islamic and human rights of Muslim people.
We are happy that Iran carried out the retaliatory strikes on Israel. Every Muslim should feel proud because the bully occupying Zionist regime came under fire. Look, Israeli forces have been oppressing our brothers and sisters in Palestine for decades. It's the time for all Muslim countries to unite and show the aggressors that we can and we have such capabilities.
The Taliban-run foreign ministry issued a statement on Sunday declaring Iran's recent attack on Israel as a legitimate defensive action. It added that Israeli genocide must be stopped in Gaza. Experts said the Afghan ruling authorities' support for Iran's reprisal actions and the Palestinian cause shows Muslims are now united against Israel, and hatred towards the Tel Aviv regime is now everywhere across the Muslim world.
Decades of Israeli occupation in Palestine and its atrocities have made all Muslims hate this regime and call for the regime to be crushed. Over the past few years, the attacks carried out by Hamas and Hezbollah shattered the Israeli regime's grandeur. Iran's strikes against Israel came amid Israel's devastating and deadly bombing campaign against Gaza.
The Afghan people also showed their anger with Israel for its war crimes in Gaza. They call for an immediate ceasefire in war-torn Gaza and demand that the international community help end the war and support Palestine in the face of Israeli invasion. Afghanistan stands firm beside brotherly Iranian nation. Palestinian cause is bringing the two neighbors even closer. Rahmatullah Baghban, Kabul.
Described as an act of self-defense, the Yemenis regard the extensive missile and drone strikes carried out by Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps on the Israeli-occupied territories as a response to the Israeli regime's assault on Iran's consular building in the Syrian capital, Damascus.
We consider the Iranian strikes against the Israeli entity a legitimate attack and a response to the Israeli attacks that violated Iran's sovereignty by hitting its consulate in Syria. The Iranian attack is a legitimate move to punish Israel and is part of measures to stop the regime's ongoing crimes since October 7.
The public sentiment aligns with the official stance as locals overwhelmingly endorse the Iranian strikes, stating that the Israeli regime and its allies only understand the language of force.
The Iranian attack is supported not only by Yemenis but also by all free people in the world. The Iranian response sent the message that Iran's capability is real and that all it was seeking was to liberate Palestine and stop the crimes by the Zionist enemy. Today we are facing an exceptional operation because Iran had not carried out an operation of this scale since the end of the Iran-Iraq war. Iran has been characterized by patience and deliberation due to the way it deals with hostile states. This is the first time that Iran has carried out a military operation against its enemies from within Iranian territory. This attack was successful, came at the right time to put the Zionist enemy in its place, and proved that Iran is capable of blowing up Israel.
Over the past few years, Yemeni-Iranian relations have strengthened, especially during the U.S.-backed war on Yemen, initiated by the 2014 revolution. This military campaign aimed to restore a U.S.-aligned former government in Yemen. People here believe that the recent Iranian attack against the occupied territories significantly impacts Western powers, demonstrating unity among the resistance forces in the region. They view the attack as the beginning of the end for the Israeli regime and its supporters. Abu Latif al-Washali, Sana'a.
Pro-Palestinians in France gathered the day after what was reported to be the first peaceful night in Gaza in 6 months. The reason? The night before, Iran launched a historic missile retaliation against Israel, which prevented Tel Aviv from continuing their attempt at genocide and ethnic cleansing. At the demonstration, there was widespread approval, support, and even gratitude and admiration for Tehran's counterattack against the unprecedented bombing assassination at an embassy.
I'm not an anti-Semite, and as a Muslim, I want us all to live together peacefully, but I see Iran's attack as something good on their part. Iran is the only major country which has had the courage to attack Israel and defend Palestine's innocent civilians. This war can easily stop if Israel can finally realize that they are attempting a genocide.
Those who are occupiers do not have the right to legitimate defense, but Iran does have the right, and they used it to defend Gaza as well. Israel bombs and assassinates people constantly. How can people forget about what Israel has done?
Protesters contrasted Iran's actions with those of the French foreign minister last week. After mentioning the possibility of placing sanctions on Israel over Gaza, he immediately backtracked the next day in front of Parliament.
The French government is quite their accomplice in the genocide that Israel is waging right now. Why aren't there any sanctions despite all these deaths? And when France talks so much about defending human rights, it's simply shameful.
French forces claim to have contributed to Israel's defense. In a major blow to perpetual Israeli hopes of escalating the violence, Washington has already refused to join any potential Israeli attack on Iran. It's uncertain if the cycle of Israeli assassination and Iranian retaliation is now concluded, but Israel has already returned to indiscriminate bombing and mass murder in Gaza, despite 6 months of global outrage, the murder of 34,000 Palestinians, and 76,000 injuries.
Will Israel pursue an even wider war? Will more Arab nations be inspired to join the cause of defending Gaza? What's certain is that many are happy that, for one night at least, the guns aimed at Gaza's civilians finally fell silent. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Pakistanis are showing staunch solidarity with the Iranian retaliatory strikes against the Israeli-occupied territories. Social media platforms overflow with messages of congratulations for Iran's effective response to Israel's atrocities, hailing Iran as a courageous champion of Muslim states willing to confront a Zionist regime, especially following months of atrocities against the Gaza Strip.
We are proud of Iran for taking a stand against Israel's aggression. The Palestinians have been suffering for decades, and it's time someone took action to protect them. Iran's attack shows that they won't tolerate the oppression any longer.
I fully support Iran's decision to strike back against Israel. The Palestinians have been living under siege for decades, and it's high time someone stood up for them. Iran's actions give hope to oppressed people everywhere.
The Pakistani government has echoed both the sentiments of its citizens and voiced grave concerns over escalation of tensions in the Middle East. Islamabad underscored the Israeli blockade of Gaza as a significant factor contributing to the recent wave of tensions, emphasizing the urgent need for international intervention to prevent further escalations in the region.
Iran has done the right thing legally and morally because Iran has retaliated against Israeli unwarranted aggression and attack on Iranian diplomatic installation in Damascus. And that was a violation of UN charter and international law. So what Iran has done is the right thing. They have responded in kind, and they have taken the battle to the aggressor, and they have hit Israel.
The people of Pakistan emphasized the urgent need for global intervention to halt the escalation of conflict in the region and called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
Iran's attack on Israeli-occupied territories has garnered widespread support from Pakistanis, particularly due to their perceived alignment with the plight of people in Gaza. The warm reception of Tehran's operation by the Pakistani nation highlights its desire for a more assertive response to Israel's ongoing atrocities against Palestinians. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
German police have stormed the pro-Palestine conference in the capital Berlin and arrested a number of participants. The Palestine Congress was an important event for the Palestinian solidarity movement in Europe. It was set to be held in the German capital from April 12 to 14. The participants aimed to denounce Israeli apartheid and genocide and Germans' complicity in the genocide of the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.
We are the Palestine Congress. We accuse the Israeli state of carrying out genocide. And we accuse the German government of supporting, of abetting, of making possible this genocide.
On Friday afternoon, several hundred activists assembled in South Berlin to attend the conference. Soon after the conference started, it was interrupted by the city's police, which had dispatched more than 900 police officers to the area. Outside the conference venue, police officers arrested a man for hoisting a Palestinian flag on a building. The participants inside the conference venue also faced repression. Even the registered journalists were refused entry by the police officers who had been deployed inside the conference hall.
I was in the list, and as the moment as I came, they told me I'm not allowed to enter because there were too many people already inside.
The first part of the conference focused on the history of Palestine.
May marks 76 years since the Palestinian Nakba. 76 years of colonization, of forced exile. However, next month also marks 76 years of resilience, 76 years of a struggle for liberation.
The German police stormed the event during a speech by the Palestinian researcher Salman Abu Sita, who addressed the conference via video link because he had been not allowed to enter Germany. Police said he was subject to a ban on political activity in the country.
The Palestine Congress was happening. We were watching a video. The police came and shut down the electricity. They didn't give a justification about it. They didn't tell us why. Nevertheless, the police came here, shut it down, said it in the loudspeaker. People are supposed to leave the building right now. You see, they're already taking people.
Chaotic scenes followed. At least two people were arrested inside the hall and several others were interrogated. German Interior Minister Nancy Faeser hailed the police, saying it was good how the police had reacted.
An hour after the start of the conference, German police stormed the conference hall because of a speech on the history of Palestine. In an act of extreme repression, they broke up the conference, declaring it an illegal assembly. However, the Palestine Solidarity Movement vows to continue the conference. Dieter Reinisch from Berlin.
Just one day after France's foreign minister earned praise for saying that sanctions on Israel could be coming over their refusal to allow humanitarian aid to Gaza, he quickly backtracked in a session before Parliament. Many are saying the episode revealed the uniquely powerful sway Zionism has in France.
France, although it has the biggest Jewish community in Europe, has also the most extreme right-wing anti-Palestinian Jewish community in Europe. And this this Jewish community in France has a lot of saying and a lot of control over the media, over the political class. So you have very few people within this community who are protesting what's going on in the Middle East. Not like the United States and Great Britain.
The majority of France's Jews fled from former French colonies in Africa once those countries gained independence in the 1950s and 1960s, and they reportedly brought with them stringent anti-Arab and pro-imperialist views. In 2019, French Parliament controversially and incorrectly equated anti-Zionism with anti-Semitism and they are currently reviewing a proposal to fully criminalize anti-Zionism.
They're saying straight, anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. Therefore, any criticism of Zionism, any criticism of Israel, means you are a criminal because you're an anti-Semite. And so it's killing all debate. Now, all throughout the collective West, but especially in France, the number one threat to freedom of speech is the Zionist movement and the pro-Israeli movement. And I weigh my words because it's very, very dangerous to say something like that in France because you'll find yourself in court.
Since October 7th, support for Hamas and even support for Palestine is often being prosecuted as so-called apology for terrorism. Pro-Palestinian demonstrations were banned nationwide for weeks, leading to thousands of fines on protesters, with protesters arrested and prosecuted for apology for terrorism for as little as carrying a Palestinian flag. Without the ability to openly criticize the policies of Israel, many believe it's difficult to imagine that Paris will reduce its unconditional support for Tel Aviv, no matter how many atrocities and war crimes they commit against Palestinians. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
South Korea's progressives extended their majority in the National Assembly in an election largely seen as a repudiation of conservative President Yoon Suk-yeol and his People Power Party. Democratic Party leader Lee Jae-myung promised to work for the greater good.
The ruling and opposition parties must work together to solve livelihood problems. We will spearhead the efforts to overcome the livelihood crisis. I once again express deep gratitude to the South Korean people.
Many South Koreans feel President Yoon has been overstepping his powers with a series of missteps and controversial measures, including the failure to resolve an ongoing doctor's strike.
There were too many cases where this government pushed through policies that made no sense, as if it were a dictatorship.
While the vote revolved around Yoon and the economy, with problems such as a lack of affordable housing and increasing polarization, Yoon's foreign policy latitude will also be curtailed.
This is really bad news for President Yoon. He's going to have an extremely hard time getting anything through the National Assembly. And what's more, it may jeopardize some of his great relations that he's formed with the U.S. and Japan during his presidency.
A new progressive party launched by Cho Guk, a former justice minister, won 12 seats in the assembly, further tipping the scales against President Yoon and his People Power Party.
The two-thirds majority enjoyed by progressives in the assembly will enable them to fast-track legislation and push their liberal agenda. Meanwhile, President Yoon's pro-business reforms stand little chance of becoming law, with Yoon something of a lame duck for the final 3 years of his five-year term. Frank Smith, Seoul.
Italy's Foreign Minister Antonio Tajani has released a new statement following Sunday's drone attack on Russian-held Zaporizhzhia power plant in eastern Ukraine. Tajani said the risk of creating a new Chernobyl must be averted and that a free zone around the nuclear plant must be immediately declared. He also advised against fighting in the vicinity of the nuclear plant. A few days ago, during a celebration for the 75th NATO anniversary, Tajani hinted at the possibility of resuming ties with Russia in the future.
We are not at war with Russia. We criticize Moscow's policies, but we are not at war with the Russian people, and we definitely intend to resume relations with the Russian people.
It is the first time Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant, the largest in Europe, has been targeted in military action since November 2022. On Tuesday, Russia blamed Ukraine for launching drone attacks on the plant for a third day, but Ukraine denied any involvement.
The Italian Foreign Ministry's position on the nuclear plant attack is very interesting. Rome, for the first time since the start of the conflict in Ukraine, is not just taking the side of Kiev, but it is pragmatically looking at the interests of the whole of Europe, without focusing on who is to blame for the attack.
Also on Tuesday, the European Union Foreign Policy Chief Josep Borrell reiterated a warning that the UN's atomic watchdog IAEA issued earlier this week. Borrell said the reckless drone attack in Zaporizhia increases the risk of a dangerous nuclear accident. Italy has often reaffirmed its unwavering support for Ukraine, despite Russia's warning against such moves. The Italian government has so far approved 6 military support packages to Kyiv, inclusive of both lethal and non-lethal equipment and specialized military training activities. Max Civili, Rome.
Faqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked
The Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
Self-purification is the most significant
factor.
Imamate is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned.
اخلاق خوب خوبه ولی همین اخلاق خوبم آفت داره.
Good morality is very much recommended in Islam. However, there is a downfall to it. In a part of Makarim al-Akhlaq supplication, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam asks Allah, O Allah, help me to have good morality, but do not boast with my morality. In Ayah 23 of Surah Al-Furqan we read, Then we shall attend to the works that they have done, and then turn them into a scattered dust. This scattering of the deeds to dust means that there was an ungodly intention behind the good deeds.
تا قیامت نشده و نامه دست راستمون نیومده آدم نبود بگه من وضعم چطوریه.
We must not boast by our good deeds until we are given our records of deeds on the Day of Judgment. Every day we ask Allah in our Salat to guide us into the right path. We might be guided into the right path, but we are not certain whether we can be steadfast on this path or not. In better words, nothing is clear about the effect of our good deeds up until we enter the hereafter. Over there, we can face the reality of our good deeds and the intentions behind them. ف Thank you very much, dear listeners of iRab English Radio Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qarati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
The limelight.
People in many parts of the world have voiced their support for Iran's response to the Zionist regime's earlier attack on Iran's diplomatic mission in Damascus, Syria. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. As the news of Iran's retaliatory military action against the Israeli regime in response to an earlier attack on the Islamic Republic's diplomatic mission in Syria broke late on Saturday, 13th of April, people in many parts of the world took to the streets cheering for the Iranian military forces. The Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, launched retaliatory strikes on multiple locations in the occupied Palestinian territories in response to the 1st of April attack on Iran's consulate building in Damascus, which led to the assassination of 7 military advisers, including a senior IRGC commander. Soon after the news broke, people across Iran poured onto the streets in support of the Iranian military forces, hailing their direct military action against the apartheid regime in Tel Aviv. According to Iranian military officials, the unprecedented missile and drone strike targeted key military sites in the occupied territories. However, they noted that the action was limited. Iranian cities such as Tehran, Kermanshah, Isfahan, Mashhad, Shiraz, Qom, Arak, Gumbad-e-Kabus, Shahrud, and Yarsuj, and many other major cities witnessed hordes of people carrying the Iranian and Palestinian flags and chanting slogans against the Israeli regime. Backing their country in its legitimate defense, People in Tehran could be seen celebrating with fireworks at many places. Ecstatic people held rallies in Palestine Square in central Tehran and outside the British Embassy, holding banners that read, "God's victory is near," and "Down with Israel." Many street rallies were held during the night as Iranian missiles and drones evaded the much-hyped Israeli air defense system and pounded Israel's strategic military installations. Demonstrations were also reported in other countries as well, hailing the Iranian military action, which came amid the genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip, which has already massacred tens of thousands of innocent Palestinians. At a Palestinian conference in the U.S. city of Chicago, Illinois, demonstrators commended Iran's retaliatory action against Israel. There were screams of joy when Hatem Abu Dayyeh, a member of the U.S.-Palestinian Community Network National Coordinating Committee, broke the news during the conference. He said, "So it begins. 12 days ago, Israel brazenly hit an Iranian embassy compound in Damascus, Syria, violating international laws again. Iran has just responded around 30 minutes ago." Slogans of "Hands off Iran" and "Glory to the martyrs" reverberated in the crowd. Demonstrations were held in many European countries. Gisela, a PhD student from Frankfurt, Germany, said Iran was within its rights to target Israel. Condemning countries that chose to side with the Tel Aviv regime, she said, "It is a right of every country to defend itself. Palestine has this right, and so has Iran. I am happy that Algeria, as a country that I come from, officially declared its support for Iran's defensive action against Israel." In Canada, pro-Palestine supporters cheered Iran's retaliatory strike on the Israeli regime during a march in Toronto. Many people joined the march, chanting slogans in favor of both Iran and Palestine. In the French capital, Paris, pro-Palestine demonstrators gathered a day after Iran launched its defensive military action against Israel. Voicing support for Iran, the protesters criticized their government for its failure to take measures against Israel for its continued genocide in Gaza. In Indian-administered Kashmir, people praised the Iranian government and its military forces, especially the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, the IRGC, for walking the walk and talking the talk and slapping the Israeli regime that has terrorized the region. People in the Arab world, including in Syria, Lebanon and Yemen, also voiced their support for Iran's response to the occupying Israeli regime's earlier attack on its diplomatic mission in Damascus. The English website of Tasnim News Agency has also covered the same story and tells us more. Many pro-Palestine supporters also took to social media sites to express their jubilation over the defensive Iranian strikes against the Zionist regime. Jackson Hinkler, a pro-Palestinian supporter from the United States and a social media influencer, said Israel deserved it and that it was only getting a very small microscopic taste of their own medicine. US-based media outlet covering the Palestinian conflict, the Electronic Intifada's director, Ali Abu Nima, said Iran exercised its right of self-defense against military targets. Commenting on the images of Iranian missiles flying over the Al-Aqsa Mosque, Richard Medhurst, British journalist and political commentator, said the power of these images cannot be overstated. Palestinian resistance groups also hailed the retaliation executed to perfection by the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps. The Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas said in a statement, "We in the Islamic Resistance Movement believe that the military operation of the Islamic Republic of Iran against the occupying Zionist entity is a natural right and appropriate response to the crime of targeting the Iranian consulate building in Damascus, as a result of which several commanders of the IRGC, the Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, were martyred. The Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement also commended the Iranian military operation. The resistance movement said in a statement on Sunday, 14th of April, "We consider this response to be a natural reaction to the existence of the occupying regime, and it becomes increasingly necessary in the light of the crimes, violations and assassinations that the Israeli regime continues to commit in flagrant violation of all humanitarian and legal values and standards." The statement by the Palestinian Islamic Jihad movement added, "We also condemn all the denying voices that have emerged in defense of the occupying regime, especially the countries that have made themselves a firewall to defend the Israeli entity and portrayed as a victim in a blatant distortion of all the facts and realities." The Palestinian Popular Resistance Committee, a Gaza-based resistance group, said it could boost the Palestinian cause, adding that for Israel, it was the final nail in its coffin. In a statement on Sunday, 14th of April, the Lebanese resistance movement Hezbollah extended its congratulations to Iran's leadership and to the Iranian nation. Hezbollah praised the brave and wise action by Iran's IRGC and the decision to respond decisively to the Israeli aggression on Iran's consulate building in Damascus. Hezbollah said, "The Islamic Republic exercises natural and legal right despite threats, intimidation and pressures, and fulfilled its truthful promise with unparalleled courage, with great wisdom, and a high appreciation of the situation at the entire regional level."
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi,
Shahid Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmoud Shahruddin was...
When we say Divan of Hafiz is a book of Irfan,
Maulavi claims that this Masnavi Ma'navi is the interpretation of the Quran.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the religious and scholarly life of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries and scholars. I am Atal, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have two special guest speakers from the Islamic House of Qom, Shaykh Fadai and Shaykh Rouhani. Shaykh Fadai, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
All right, for today's discussion, we want to talk about Sayyid Hassan al-Nasrullah, the current president and the current secretary general of the Lebanese organization Hezbollah. Shaykh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother. Give us some information about the early life and biography of Sayyid Hassan al-Nasrullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah was born in 1960 in a town called Al-Bazuriya, which was a kind of poor, let's say, location, whose people were suffering from poverty in the east part of Lebanon called Sur, whose mother's name is Mahdiya Safiuddin and his father's name is Sayyid Abdul Karim.
Yes.
And of course, regarding his education, he actually studied in a school in Beirut. And then actually in 1976, by the advice of the Imam Jum'ay Sur, Actually, he started seminary education or Islamic studies and moved to Najaf al-Ashraf. And then after some 2 years studying there in Najaf, he returned to Lebanon and joined the classes of Imam Muntazir Seminary in Baalabak City.
Yes.
And continued his Hawzawi studies there. Mm-hmm. In 1989, actually, he went to the holy city of Qom for further studies and advanced studies in Islamic Hawza of Almiya of Qom.
That's right.
And of course, regarding his socio-political activities, we can mention that after finishing the high school in 1975, he was among the, let's say, what we can say, the officials in Jumbish Amal or Amal movement in his in the city Al-Bazuriyah.
Mm-hmm.
And after returning from Najaf al-Ashraf in 1979, he became member of Jumbish Amal, and the political member of this party and group in 1982, together with some other scholars and ulama.
Yes.
They actually established and Hezbollah, and this movement was established at that time by him and some of the other and young scholars of the Lebanon.
Okay, that's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice introduction. Sheikh Fadai, we know that, especially nowadays, that the Gaza Strip and the Palestine is under the attacks of the Zionism regime. Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah's name is heard more than before. He, along with Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, are considered as two, it's better to say, the pivots of the resistance or al-muqawama against the tyranny and atrocity and oppression all around the world. How do you find the role of this man, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, in today's political scene of the world, especially in the Hezbollah and also Hezbollah Muqawama?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. No, this kind of spirit was not new in Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. From his childhood, he had this belief, I mean, to believe in fighting with enemies. When he was a child, he loved Imam Musa Sadr because of his belief in fighting with the enemy. Yes. And always he wanted to be like him. And something that he became after a while. And, you know, in the first years of forming Hezbollah, before Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, Sayyid Abbas Mousavi was Secretary General. In the beginning years, we can say that in Lebanon, Hezbollah was familiar and beloved by people and authorities, because they could stand in front of Israel and force Israel regime to get back from the borders of Lebanon. But after a while, because of some movements of enemy, some people, and of course we can say most of the authorities in Lebanon, they tried to make obstacle for Hezbollah and Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah. And even nowadays, you know, usually in the news we hear that Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah has lecture and people believe in him, but it's not all this story. In Lebanon, in his country, even now, there are people and authorities who are afraid of Israel in America.
Yes.
Because of that, they do not support Hezbollah. But Sayyid Hassan never stopped, and he's not going to stop, because he knows his duty, and by the actions of Hezbollah, Lebanese people have security.
Yes.
And, you know, he does not have the feeling of ethnic, I don't know, and national feeling to support just his people.
Yes.
No, you know, the main cause for this spirit is his deep belief in Walaya al-Faqih. And
their support for the Mazlumin and Mustaz'afin.
Yes.
This was something that the late Imam Khomeini has very much emphasized on. Regardless of the race, color, ethnicity, you must be after the rights of such people.
You know, Walaya al-Faqih, even in Iran, it started like that.
Yes.
to support oppressed people and to fight with oppressors.
Okay.
So that is the cause that Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah followed Imam Khomeini. And I want to quote his sentence about Imam Khomeini. We can understand his belief clearly by this quotation. He says that in our idea, Imam Khomeini is not only a marja, he is a complete leader, an imam. He is the symbol for revolution against istikbar, against colonization. And he could make the nations hopeful to fight with arrogance. And because of that, he says this relationship, this spiritual relationship that we have with Imam Khomeini is not just for now. We had this even before 1982. You know, 1982 is the time that Hezbollah was formed in Lebanon.
Okay.
He believed that we had this feeling with Imam, this spiritual relationship with Imam. So, you know, this spirit made this figure Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah following Velaya al-Faqih in order to support oppressed people and fight with oppressors all around the world, not just Lebanon, Palestine.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai. Okay, Sheikh Rouhani, as I said, especially in today's world, you know, on different occasions, Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah is on the media and giving speeches and the sermons regarding the oppressions of the Israelis against Palestinian people. How do you find the role of Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah in achieving more and more resistance against the tyrannies and the tyrannical powers of today's world?
You know, actually, Tashayyu or Shiite movements from the early life of Tashayyu, from the time of Amir al-Mu'mineen, particularly about Abdullah Hussein alayhi salatu wasalam, started with Martyrdom. We have Ashura and Karbala as the main, let's say, founders of this school of Tashayyu. And it is always alive with the belief to Imam al-Mahdi, ajalallahu ta'ala, farajahu al-sharif. Actually, Tashayyu has two wings. One is Ashura and the other one is Mahdiism. These two wings keeps always Tashayyu alive. That's why, as you see nowadays, when we see that speech is presented by Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, in all his speeches, he very much emphasizes, overemphasizes, and focuses on these two main beliefs of Tashayyu. One is Ashura and the other one is Mahdiism or Mahdawiyya. That is why you see that from the time of Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salatu wasalam, though the oppressors, the oppressive kings, khulafas, umaras, they killed, assassinated, massacred numberless Shiite scholars, figures, people in the history, but still the Tashayyu is alive. That is why this movement, which is rooted in the Tashayyu and Shiite teachings and doctrines in Lebanon and anywhere else, they will be alive till the end of the life or till the end of the history. Because of what? Because these two main beliefs always keeps Shia alive, wherever they are, whenever they are. The point is that, of course, now this resistance, you see that the people of the Shiite people of Lebanon were the most poor people. They suffered a lot from different kind of poverties, discriminations, injustice in Lebanon. But they established this powerful kind of political party by this kind of ideology. So that is why this resistance will be alive, will remain alive till the time that Imam al-Asr, Imam al-Mahdi will reappear. And Tashayyu will be alive. Until that time. Because when a Shia got martyred, he believes that he enters a better life, a better phase of life, which is the hereafter life, in the presence of Abdullah al-Husayn and A'imma alayhim salatu wassalam. If he remain alive in this world, again, he's winner. If he got martyred, again, he is winner. So that kind of people, that kind of movements, that kind of ideologies will never be vanished or removed from the earth. That will be always alive.
Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani and Sheikh Fadai, for a nice elaboration regarding
the biography and the life of the Sayyid Hassan Nasrullah, we would like to finish this episode of the program, The Teacher, with a part of his speech in Arabic language and the English translation of it. Thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, we can visit our website. You can visit our website at parstudio.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanat.
من جوانب عظمة الإمام الخميني قدس سره أنه قائد وإمام، وهذا الإنسان العظيم الذي.
From among the aspects of greatness of Imam Khomeini is that he was the leader and an Imam. And this great human, who was not an ordinary person, nor was he political leader in its ordinary sense, this Imam, who was a jurist and religious authority, a mystic, outstanding and of high caliber, a philosopher and a thinker, a leader in the battlefield, and one well aware of history and the message of Islam, and well aware of his contemporary time, as well as his friends and enemies and the extent of their plots. This historical Imam, this unique Imam, this Imam, the Imam of the revolutionaries and the leader of the soldiers of Allah and those who sacrifice. We are in need of such leaders. We are in need of such Imams. We are in need of vanguards of this type. The exceptionality of Imam Khomeini was that he was, as Shahid Muteri had said, the Imam used to believe in his Lord and in his people and in the path that he was taking. And Imam provided this victory, the victory of Islamic revolution, to every weak and oppressed one, to every tortured and aggrieved one in this world, whether they were Muslims or non-Muslims. When our brothers went to him in 1982, he told them to fight this enemy in your land, turn Lebanon into a graveyard for Zionist invasions. Start from scratch, rely on Allah, and do not wait for anyone in this world. And know that you are definitely victorious.
حماس الأم حاضنة لجيش القدس والنصر، فنعم الجند قسام أسود في الوغى تجري، وهم في البحر حيتان وفي العلياء كالصقر، وهم بالليل عباد وبالأسحار والفجر.
شيلي حماس الدين، هم الأم عكتافك، يا مهرة أحمد ياسين والقسام خيالك، أرعبتي هالمحتلين.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.